Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe. This show airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa and Betty Ann.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe. We have a great show for you tonight. We have some cool guests. Betty Ann, how are you?
Good. I'm great. Very excited about tonight.
Yeah, we're having a young entrepreneur coming on, and we have Marta from The Sound of Music. If you've seen that classic movie, The Sound of Music, you'll know who we're talking about. And then we have David Daniel, who's a CNN entertainment reporter. He'll be on later tonight to talk about some new movies and the Emmy nominations. So we've got a cool show for you. But before we get started, before I introduce Ryan, I got to tell everybody, my co-host here is Miss Beauty Ambassador in the Ladies Home Journal for the month of August, the one with Ann Curry on the front. Right, Betty Ann? Page 40?
Page 40.
She's looking gorgeous. And she's, you're critiquing some beauty items.
Yes. The Ladies Home Journal, August 2012. Beauty Ambassador, and I tested a lot of beauty products and commented, and that's what it's all about, and it's pretty interesting, and it was a really fun experience. I really enjoyed it, so, and it's an honor, too.
Absolutely.
Very nice honor. Yeah,
well,
so I'm really excited about it.
And you're one of them, so that's, I think that's pretty cool.
It's real cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that later, but I'd first like to bring on our first guest. His name is Ryan Tegeler, and he's got a very cool T-shirt company, and he's going to tell us all about it. Welcome, Ryan.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Now, Ryan, I'm good. Thank you.
My son Joe is in Spain, and Ryan was one of his roommates, correct?
Yes. Great kid. Great kid.
So tell us about your T-shirt business. Like, how did you get it started, and, you know, tell us what the name of it is and everything.
Well, it's called East Coast Surf and Sport. We abbreviate ECS, and basically it all started summer of 2010, I would say, and it's just four of us. It's myself, my friend who I actually went to high school with, Sal Tumalo, and two brothers, Gayton and Zach Giuliano, who all four of us actually work together at Acme Markets in Ocean City, New Jersey. So we live down the shore every summer in Ocean City, and we kind of just one day thought about like something cool like this after watching surf competitions on the beach. Sal actually surfed, and we kind of figured, like, wouldn't it be awesome to have our own brand? And we kind of joked about it for a little while, but I called Gayton one day and I said, you know what, we could actually do this. So we put our minds to it, and, you know, Gayton's really good with graphic design. He does all of our designs, and the four of us just worked together and to build our own brand.
Now, how can people order the shirts?
Well, right now we just launched our website live, www.theecs.com, and we have PayPal connected to it, so you can pay through PayPal, or you can also pay through major credit cards as well.
Oh, that's cool. Now, how often do you come out with new T-shirts, like a couple times a year, or you just have a steady, like, core brand that you keep in, or how does that work?
Well, as you know, I was in Spain for the past 4 months, so we kind of took, not like a pause, but it was difficult communicating internationally between the four of us. But this past summer, we've come out with two new shirts, one for men's and one for women. And we plan on, by the end of the summer, releasing a new men's T-shirt, a new woman's shirt, and also a snapback hat for men. So we're trying to just grow right now, and we're seeing what money can get us, you know?
Now, Joe said he likes when you have one, it's like an eye chart.
That's the one the eye test shirt. That's the one that we plan on, that we actually ordered today. So those should be in within the next week and a half, 2 weeks.
How many different styles do you have?
Right now we have, with the eye test shirt, that'll be our fifth men's shirt. And we only have one woman's crop top, which we just came out with last week.
Ooh, why are you doing the sexy look?
Yeah, that's what we're going for. But we're trying to come out with another woman's V-neck by the end of the summer. So
what kind of materials do you use?
We started off with 50/50 cotton when we were like new to the business, and we just recently moved on to the last shirt that we released, the Reflection shirt. We used organic ring-spun cotton, mm-hmm. and everything's pre-shrunk.
Now, are they all short-sleeve T-shirts, or do you have any long-sleeve?
We don't have any long-sleeve shirts yet, but we do have we have 5 T-shirts and we have 1 hooded sweatshirt. And the hooded sweatshirt's pretty cool because, you know, we are a local company, South Jersey, Philadelphia area, and the design of the sweatshirt kind of mimics Philadelphia's Love Park with the word East for East Coast Surf and Sport in the shape of the Love Park symbol. So that's kind of a unique sweatshirt that we like.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any, plans to make anything else besides T-shirts and hats?
We do eventually, yes, we want to have, like, our own, actual clothing line.
Oh, okay.
So we do have plans in the future. Hopefully we can come out with some long-sleeve T-shirts, maybe, pants, jeans, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to try to sell into stores, or are you just going to strictly be, like, online?
We talked about being online, but then recently we just decided that we think we might want to go into some surf shops around Ocean City and the South Jersey Shore and just kind of pitch the idea and, show them what we have and see if they're interested in selling our products. So that's something that we're going to try to accomplish by the end of the summer for next summer's release.
Now, how do you go about deciding, do you all get along as far as picking out the patterns and stuff that they're going to go on the shirt, or does one person make that decision, or do you all have to agree on it?
Well, so far we've all 4 of us, we always say, we don't want to make any decisions without all 4 of us agreeing, but Gayton, he is one of the co-founders, and he's also the graphic designer who makes all the designs, and he's got great connections with companies that produce shirts, manufacture shirts, so he does make the designs, and he is really great at what he does. And so basically, he'll just throw out a bunch of ideas, send them to the rest of us via email, and, we'll all comment on them. And we have, we have, like, group chat on Facebook and text message where we all can talk to each other. And basically, we come to a final consensus, and then Gayton places the order through the company.
Oh, terrific. So. Well, that's really great. We wish you the best of luck. Now, tell everybody again where they can order. Give your website again. It will be on our web. It's already up on our website, so if anybody wants to go on, if they don't remember, if they don't have a pen to write it down, but give us,
Okay, well, our website is www.theecs.com, and you can also visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/eastcoastsurf.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on and joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
When you have some new products, let us know, and we'll have you on again.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Have a good night. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Debbie Turner.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Well, hello, everyone. tonight we are honored to have as our guest an actress who is well known and loved for her role as Marta Von Trapp in The Sound of Music. I'd like to introduce the fabulous Debbie Turner. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Marianne. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy that you were able to make the show tonight. I'm so excited to get a chance to chat with you.
Well, I am too. This is great. Thank you for having me on.
Well, now, I need to ask you, first of all, you were very, very young when you were in The Sound of Music. How old were you when you first started acting?
When I first started acting, I was 6 months old. I did my first TV commercial as an infant. And
wow.
I did quite a lot of TV commercials prior to doing The Sound of Music. I don't know how many, but quite a lot for Mattel Toy and, oh gosh, I couldn't even name it, but I used to have a pretty good resume by the time I was six. So.
Wow. Well, what was it like to play the part of Marta?
Well, Marta was very much like I was. I mean, Marta, I don't know if it was a lot of acting because Marta was me. You know, it was, I liked to do all the stuff that we did, you know, the running and the riding the bikes and, well, not necessarily falling into the lake, but, you know, all those things and hiking and camping, or not camping, but picnicking and that sort of thing were things that I would have normally done anyway growing up in Southern California. So, you know, doing acting at a young age was actually fun for me. So I loved it.
So it was more like playing and fun. It wasn't really like work. It was more having
right.
a good time.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, what was it like to work with Julie Andrews in the show?
Oh, it was a delight. Julie was and still is just such a wonderful gal. And, you know, she just was, she acted towards us off screen the same way she acted towards us while we were filming. I mean, she never, you know, put on a face of, you know, get out of here. She was always inviting and friendly and just so much fun to work with. I just adored her. And when we were finished filming, she actually threw a swimming pool party for all of us at her house.
Oh.
Which was a lot of fun. And I just don't know if that happens too often in Hollywood. But
maybe not today, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What was your most favorite, like, what was your favorite scene in the movie? Like, which one did you enjoy the most?
The Do-Re-Mi sequence, and it wasn't just one scene. I mean, it took several weeks to film that. So I would say, I guess it's kind of a scene because it's the song, the montage of the Do-Re-Mi song as we're learning it and then as we, you know, progress on through the summer. And, I mean, that was just a lot of fun. I mean, from beginning to end, it was fun. So I would say Do-Re-Mi sequence.
Okay. I just love that movie so much. I can't believe
it's one of my favorite movies ever.
I'm going to have to talk to you tonight.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Now, Lisa wants to ask you a couple of questions. She's going to come on
okay.
now. Go ahead, Lisa.
What was it like? Do you remember actually filming it? I mean, it was so long ago. Is it still clear in your mind?
You know, it's so clear in my mind. I've got almost a photographic memory. I know this sounds weird, but I'm a very visual person, and my parents took a lot of photographs. So growing up, you know, just showing people the photographs and looking at them over the years, you know, it was very familiar. And actually, I was just over there in June. I was hired, I don't know if people know this, but I am a floral designer, and I design weddings and big parties and everything. And I had somebody hire me to do her wedding in Salzburg, Austria, at the property that was on the lake at the Leopoldskron Palace, which is the backdrop where we all fall in the lake. And it was just so surreal to be back in this property, and I'm looking at the lake, and I'm actually tying flowers onto this gate that we had gone through and looking into the water, and my heart sunk because I thought, oh, my God, I fell in that nasty-looking water 47 years ago. It's just as nasty-looking now.
Have you been back to Salzburg since filming?
No, actually, we were all back there in 2000. There was a British film company that did a documentary on Where Are They Now? And so the seven of us adult kids, all went back, and we were there for a week, and, you know, so we got to see a lot of the old places where we had been, and it was a lot of fun. But this time I went with my daughter, who is also my floral design assistant and photographer, and so we went to all the different places that maybe we couldn't under the controlled environment that we had it back in 2000. I rented a car, and, you know, we went to places that I remember we took field trips to and stuff that, you know, I could go wherever I wanted to. And I really got a good feel for the city unlike any other time, you know, and it was just so nostalgic to be there.
How long were you there for the wedding?
What's that?
How long were you there when you were planning
Well, for exactly a week. We arrived on a Wednesday and left on a Wednesday. The wedding was on a Tuesday, so we arrived several days early just because of the flights, and we had to start designing a few days ahead of time, of course, and, you know, just to be there. You know, at the wedding, because it was a Sound of Music-themed wedding, and this was this girl's dream wedding, which... Kind of cool for me, you know, for somebody who really want and like my style well enough that she would, you know, pay to have me come to Austria. But during the reception, they were playing the Sound of Music soundtrack, and I'm sitting in this building that I spent a lot of time in as a child, just looking at everything, and here I'm hearing my child voice singing, like, this is just really, really surreal. But it was neat, you know.
Wow. That's just unbelievable. Did everything, was everything exactly the same, or had things changed since, you know, the years when it had been filmed?
Well,
was everything exactly the same as you remembered?
They didn't have a McDonald's back in 1964.
even in picturesque Salzburg, they have to have a McDonald's.
Yeah.
I know. But they have a very antique-looking double arches sign. So for the most part, I would say everything looks very untouched. I know the big castle they had up in the hill, they maybe about 10 years ago, they refurbished it, and they repolished all the outer walls of the castle, so it's very white-looking up on the hill, whereas back in 1964, they had never done that, or they hadn't done it in a long time. But other than that, I would say pretty much everything else is the same. The gardens are the same, and, the, you know, obviously the hillsides and the landscapes and lakes, all as beautiful as ever, so.
That's amazing. Would you ever have thought, back when you were a child filming, that the movie would have become such a beloved classic movie of all time? I mean, every generation, people will be watching that movie forever, and they will love it, and it'll be their favorite.
Well, the older I get, the more amazed I am. I mean, I think I didn't give it much of a thought. Uh-oh, there's a helicopter going. I hope you can hear me okay. I didn't give it much of a thought as a young child, obviously, because we had just done the movie and it was fresh. But, oh, God. Sorry about that. Can't control the helicopter.
I do hear that. A little tiny bit, though. Just a tiny bit.
Okay. It's really loud, actually. you know, none of us really figured that it would be as big as it was. I mean, I think it played nonstop in the movie theaters for 2 years straight, which was, at the time, a record. They had never had a movie that, you know, still had so many people coming to watch it and, you know, have enough people to keep the movie going. So, no, to answer your question, we had no idea. But I'm delighted that it has done well. So.
Oh, yeah. Forever. It's a forever movie. It's one of those forever movies.
It is.
Everyone will love. I mean, and I could watch it. I could watch it over and over. I mean, I just love that movie. Whenever it's on, I have to watch it.
Okay. Have you guys seen our new book that we wrote? We have a
The Sound of Music scrapbook.
The Sound of Music family scrapbook. We had a writer by the name of Fred Bronson who collected all of our stories and helped us put together this amazing book of all of our memories and photographs, personal photographs that nobody's seen, mm-hmm. and facsimiles of, you know, tickets and stuff that we've had, magazine articles and newspaper clippings and notes home to Dad and Mom, and just really all sorts of stuff that people have never seen before. And it it was a many years in the process to finally get this together, and it came out just a few months ago. And it's actually, I think it had hit number 5 on the Los Angeles Times bestseller list just maybe a week or two ago. So we're very, very thrilled about it. But you guys should have it. You should get it.
Yeah, we need to get one, Lisa.
Where can you buy it? A bookstore? Bookstores or
major bookstores, or I think you can even get it online. But most major bookstores have it. And I don't know. I know Amazon had it, and they're sold out temporarily. And I know Barnes & Noble also had it, but I don't know what their status is. So, yes, it's available. And if you can't get it, just call me, and I'll send you one.
Okay. I heard that you can also receive copies that are signed by all the different actors, the different Von Trapp actors. Children.
Well, it would be the 7 of us. There is a mm-hmm. limited edition book signed by all 7 actors who played the kids, and it is available at, oh my gosh, I knew you were going to ask me this and I didn't write it down. It is SOMFS, Sound of Music Family Scrapbook.com, and you can order it online. You know, I should get that exact address for you. Anyway, I'll let you know what it is before we're finished here. And anyway, yes, you can order it, and it comes wrapped special in brown paper and tied up with string. It's really cute, and there's a special So when you get it, it's really special. So.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Oh, that is so great. I love that. You know, I also saw something that there's actually a Sound of Music cruise planned where...
Yes.
Are you going?
Of course.
Lisa, we have to go on a cruise.
When is it?
It's May 18th, and I believe it goes for a week, and it's out of Fort Lauderdale. And Expedia.com is the ones that are selling the packages for that. So you can put in a reservation now through Expedia, and you have to just say the Sound of Music Cruise. They have themed cruises. So they are already taking reservations. I think there's quite a few people that have already booked. So I don't know how many slots they have for that, but if you're interested at all, you should certainly book it right away.
Yeah, that's great.
But yes, I'm going, and I believe all 7 of us will be going, as far as I know. So there will be appearances and opportunities. You know, I think they're going to be hosting a cocktail party where we'll be doing meet and greet, and everybody gets a fully signed book. And beyond that, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, that's going to be very exciting. So Diet starts tomorrow, you know. Hopefully by May,
exciting.
I'll be looking hot in my bikini again. Ha ha. So
that's great. That's just, I mean, I don't think there could be anything better than that, going on a cruise with all the Sound of Music actors and getting the signed autographed book and getting a suntan at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
I won't get so sick. I don't think I've been on a ship since they got really good.
Well, Debbie, before we have to say goodbye, can you please give us the website or the link for the Sound of Music scrapbook, the one where people can have the signed copy?
Yes, just
one moment. I have to go in and get that information for you.
Okay.
Of course, I'm locked out. I came up the stairs from the outside. Okay, just one moment here. Everybody still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hold on. Of course, I can't find anything right at my fingertips.
But that always happens to me.
Here we go. It's here. Just a sec. Since I didn't come up with a name, it's not something I think of. Okay, it's somfamilyscrapbook.com.
Okay, somfamilyscrapbook.
.com.
For all the listeners that would like to order a signed copy, signed by all of the children.
Correct.
That's really great.
That's cool.
Yes, very, very cool. Well, Debbie, thanks so much. We really enjoyed talking to you tonight. We love you, and we'd love to have you on again sometime. And possibly
might love to come on.
Lisa and I on that cruise.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Well, thank you
nice
so much for
here.
Having me on, and I hope you guys will take the cruise.
Oh, boy. That sounds so great. Yeah, we're looking into it for sure.
Okay,
definitely.
Wonderful.
Have a good night.
All right,
thank you for
all right,
Debbie.
You guys. Bye.
You too. Right. Good night. Bye-bye.
How cute is that, the brown paper package tied up with string? Tell me.
I love that. I want to start singing the song right then and there.
That's my favorite thing
brown
in the movie.
Paper
I love that
packages.
Movie. In the thunderstorm when
that.
You're laying on the big bed.
I just love it. It's like such a happy movie. It makes you feel good. You know?
That's our tradition. We put it on while we're decorating our Christmas tree.
It's always on around that time, too, you know?
Yeah,
it's always on around
and
the holidays.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And every once in a while, you'll catch it like in an odd time of year.
Yep.
But I just love it. Love it. Well, I think I heard our Hollywood connection chime in. Is that David?
The connection from Hollywood is on.
Oh, so much going
on. Hi, David.
And, you know, it occurs to me.
It was a
huge day today. But it occurs to me, you know, I think you're doing something to try to get me in a good mood every time I come on. Because the last time I was on, you were also talking about the Sound of Music Family Scrapbook.
Yeah,
in that hour.
Was on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's coincidence. I tend to think you're just because, as you said, everybody smiles and is happy when they think about that movie or when they see that movie or hear the music from it. So I have a feeling it's on purpose. I don't think anything accidental happens on the show. But yes, it's a big day. It's a big week. It seems like every time we talk is a big week in Hollywood. But there is nothing bigger happening this week. Or this weekend in Hollywood, then the release of The Dark Knight Rises. This is a massive movie that has been 4 years in the making, a trilogy that's been 9 years in the making, and it's predicted to be one of the biggest opening weekends in Hollywood history, probably the biggest opening weekend by a 2D picture ever. And that's actually important if you're the type of person who looks at box office, because obviously if you've been to a 3D movie before, you know that they tack a surcharge on. It's a more expensive ticket to see a 3D movie because the theater has to have special equipment, and so they up the price. And so I don't know if it's to the point where they put an asterisk or something on 3D movies in the box office, but you know the biggest opening weekend ever was earlier this summer. It was The Avengers, and it certainly benefited. It benefited from being a great popular movie that millions of people wanted to see, but it also benefited from that more expensive ticket price for being a 3D movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christopher Nolan, who is the co-writer and the director of these three Batman movies, which began in 2005 with Batman Begins, and then in 2008, The Dark Knight. He also has done such acclaimed movies as Memento and Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do 3D. whether he thinks it's a gimmick or he just doesn't like to work that way, he doesn't do it. What he does is he films in IMAX, the giant screen format that is used mostly for educational films and for films that play at aquariums and science centers and things like that. And let me tell you, from the very first shot of The Dark Knight Rises, you realize, okay, this guy doesn't need 3D. I'm not going to give a whole lot away that hasn't already been discussed by, you know, in the media by the people who made the movie, because it doesn't open until tomorrow, tonight actually, at midnight. And I'd hate to be accused of casting spoilers out for people who want to discover it for themselves. But from the very first shot, any thought of needing 3D left my mind. He uses the huge format to wonderful effect, where you really feel like you're there. It's very evocative and very well done. So I saw the movie. I attended the press junket. I interviewed Nolan, Christopher Nolan. I interviewed Christian Bale, who plays Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'll let you drool over him in a sec. Let me just go through the
list. I'm drooling now. Okay, and I'm getting hot. Wait, I need the fan.
On the other side, I interviewed Anne Hathaway, who plays Catwoman.
Yeah.
I interviewed Gary Oldman, who returns as Commissioner Gordon, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is a new entry to the Batman trilogy here. He plays a young policeman. And together, I interviewed Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman.
Well, you gotta go away.
Just imagine that. I mean, I know they're both important parts of the Batman trilogy. Caine plays Bruce Wayne's longtime butler Alfred, and Freeman plays Lucius Fox, who works at Wayne Enterprises and is the one that whips up all these amazing gadgets, from the bat suit to the car and the motorcycle and everything else. Between them, they've got about 250 movie and TV credits. They've got three Oscars between them. But until this trilogy, they had never been in a movie together.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. With the number of movies they each do, I mean, I know sometimes it seems like Caine is in every other movie that comes out. But they had never been in a movie together, and they are almost never in the same scene in these Batman movies, because Caine's butler appears mostly in Wayne Manor. You know, he's a butler. That's where he works. He's at the house. And Fox, working at Wayne Enterprises, most of his scenes are at the office. So there is one scene, and I won't spoil anything. It is an emotionally pivotal scene. There is one scene where the two of them are together in this movie. I brought this up in the interview, and they said that. And I don't remember this, so I'm going to have to go back and watch Batman Begins again. But they said that one of the early scenes in Batman Begins, the whole cast, more or less, the whole main cast was in it, including the two of them. And apparently Caine had a line or lines in that scene, and Freeman's character did not. He was there, but he didn't have any lines in the script. And Freeman says that he told Chris Nolan, the director, look, this is Michael Caine. I am not going to be on set with Michael Caine without saying something to him. And Nolan said, go ahead. So Freeman ad-libbed something. So I'm going to have to go back and check that scene. I haven't had a chance. But just really interesting to talk with these two Hollywood veterans who have done so much. And, you know, here are, let's face it, supporting players. They have Oscars. They are usually the stars of the movies they're in.
Yeah.
But here they're supporting players, and they play sort of the heart of Bruce Wayne, Caine's character, and the brain, the doting father figure and the favorite uncle who it's always the uncle who brings you all the neat toys, right? Who whips up, oh, here, got a new improved bat suit for you. Well, maybe not all uncles, but that one. And I was talking to them about how this is really odd that they'd never worked together, and they said, well, they have now. They shot a movie last winter in New Orleans, the two of them, called Now You See Me. And this sounds really interesting. It's got both Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman. It's also got people like Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network. It's got Mark Ruffalo, who plays the Hulk in the new Avengers movies. got Woody Harrelson, and it opens next March. It is about FBI agents who are tracking a team of illusionists who pull off bank heists during their performances and reward their audiences with the money.
Wow.
Now, that sounds suitably complicated and goofy for my kind of movie, and with a cast like that, including Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine, I'm lining up for it. But I have a feeling you've been listening patiently while I tell this story about those two Hollywood legends until I stop, so you can get me back to Christian Bale.
Yeah.
What do you want to know? What do you want to know about the movie, about Bale? I've been talking. Lay it on me.
Is he a nice guy?
He is. He is, and as has been said before, he is an intense guy. He is very smart. And I had heard from some other people that he doesn't necessarily give a lot of eye contact in interviews. Not that it's a matter of disrespect or anything, just it's not his style to, you know, gaze into your eyes while he's talking to you. And he did that at first, but as we warmed up over the interview, he absolutely did make eye contact with me. We chatted a lot about a lot of things. Anne Hathaway also praised him for being a really honest guy, a really warm fellow on set. And that didn't surprise me at all because, you know, he has done so much incredible work on screen. I mean, I don't know what your favorite Christian Bale movie is, whether it's the one that he won the Oscar for, The Fighter, you know, when he won Best Supporting Actor, whether it's one of the Batman movies. What do you like Christian Bale in? And don't say a swimsuit.
Now, you know, well, first of all, what amazes me about him is whenever I see him interviewed, and you don't really see him interviewed much, he has an English accent. Like, that amazes me that he can play these parts and he can not have an English accent, but he really has one.
Oh, he's a British accent? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. But I always remember him. I've seen him in a lot of shows, but this movie always stuck out in my mind. He was a boy, and he was in China. It was during the war.
The Last Emperor, that's what you're talking about.
No, it was something else. It was called the Sun, the Rising Sun. He actually sang.
Oh,
he had a beautiful voice.
I know what you're talking about. I was seeing The Last Emperor in my head, but what was the title of that movie?
He got left behind.
It was Empire of the Sun. That's it. Empire of the Sun. Right.
Yeah. And he was so young then, and he was amazing, and he's been amazing ever since. I mean, he's been amazing his whole life.
He has been.
Awesome.
That was one of the first, Spielberg actually did that movie, and that was his first big movie. He'd seen him, a couple of things he'd done, and after that he did Newsies and Swing Kids, and then he started doing more, you know, he did Little Women, and he started doing adult roles.
Oh, I love him in Little Women.
Absolutely, yes. Well, let's see. Christian Bale, he's a little bit younger than me, but I won't say how much, but he's in his late 30s, so... Mm-hmm. Let's see, how old would he have been? Empire of the Sun was in 87 or thereabouts, so that was 25 years ago. So he was a kid.
Yeah.
We've been watching Christian Bale for that long. We've, you know, he's one of those people we've been privileged to see grow up on screen.
That's right.
Have you ever interviewed Hugh Jackman?
I have.
Oh gosh. Lisa has the biggest crush on Hugh Jackman.
I love
him.
The actors and actresses that I most enjoy interviewing are the ones who are who really have something to say, who are both intelligent and well spoken. And you know, I'm sure you've met people who have one but not the other. There are people who are smart but can't really express what's going on inside their head.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some professors, not to generalize, but I've had a couple of professors who's were brilliant in their fields, but when I was in college, but that didn't mean that they could communicate.
Right,
the information clearly and with a sense of excitement. Hugh Jackman I interviewed for a movie that he did called The Fountain. This was a very sort of metaphysical film that he did with Rachel Weisz. It was a Darren Aronofsky movie, and he was friendly, he was thoughtful, he was charming. Again, this is one of the things where you know, I go back to the office and tell the women in the office that I interviewed Hugh Jackman,
anyway,
and they look at me,
you
know, with this.
Don't want to date him?
I'm sorry?
Can you fix me up with him next time?
Hugh is extremely happily married. In fact, I don't know if,
so
if you watched. I don't know if you watched the Tony Awards this year. But he was presented a special Tony for helping bring attention and excitement back to Broadway. You know, he did a one-man show there. He's hosted a couple of times, and he's really mm-hmm. brought sort of a new demographic of fans to Broadway and to the Tonys. And his wife, who does not make a lot of public appearances, presented the Tony to him. She was on stage, and he totally didn't expect this, and you can see in his eyes, I'm sorry if I'm ruining any fantasies here, but you could see in his eyes the love that he has for her and the total amazement that she was up there. Not only she was the one presenting it, but that she was doing anything like that, you know, on national television in public.
You're making me depressed.
You know, things change. I can't predict the future. I don't want to, you know, abandon all hope. But
well, you know,
but,
David, Lisa every day has a different picture of Hugh Jackman on her Facebook page.
I'm going to have to check that out.
She'll call it Yum of the Day or, you know.
Now, this isn't something that he should be worried about, right? This isn't something where there's going to be police involved and
charges filed,
restraining orders. No. Okay.
No.
Glad
just,
to hear it. No. Well, it's funny because, of course, you know, Christian Bale has a lot of female fans, a lot of fans, period. And so does mm-hmm. Tom Hardy, who is he plays the villain in this movie, Bane, in Dark Knight Rises. And I've had more women asking me than any other character if I interviewed Tom Hardy. He is a young, good-looking actor from Down Under, and he plays the incredibly powerful, muscular villain in this film, Bane. One of the most interesting things, this is the first time that in these films that Batman has come up against a villain who is physically big, you know, more powerful than he is. Even with the Batsuit and everything that Batman has mm-hmm. going for him, this is a guy who is just physically scary to even a superhero like Batman. And Tom Hardy pulls the role off just great. Although if you've seen any of the clips or if you've seen the trailer, he's the big muscular guy who's wearing sort of a strange, almost Hannibal Lecter-like mask over his face, over the lower part of his face. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that was, it's explained in the movie why he's wearing that. The problem is that it's very difficult to speak clearly when you have a mask strapped over your nose and mouth. And they wound up having to have him redub all of his dialogue. You know, go into a booth after the film is over and watch his scenes and, you know, speak his lines into a microphone at the same time as his character is speaking so that he can be understood.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't understand what the villain's saying, it kind of drags the movie down.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if I'd talk with him, it would have been much the same as with everybody else. Christopher Nolan tends to create an atmosphere where not only very talented actors, but very intelligent actors want to work. Nolan is a very smart guy. I would say scary smart, but he's not scary in the least. He communicates wonderful, thoughtful ideas. And Anne Hathaway, especially when I talked with her, she agreed with me that, you know, he puts a lot of talented, intelligent people together, and great things happen then. Hathaway told me that he creates an environment where intelligence is encouraged and welcome, and he's very collaborative. He likes good ideas. He doesn't care where they come from. He likes elegant solutions, but he's so smart that, according to Hathaway, he wants your ideas, but you don't want to occupy his time with a question that won't waste his time. You want to make it sure you make sure it's not something he could just, you know, snap his fingers and solve. He had this great quote from Hathaway that she remembered someone on set saying they weren't sure they deserved to be there, and someone else said, "You know what? You're working on a Chris Nolan movie. That means you're probably one of the top three in your profession in the world." And that's really an amazing thing to be in a position where you can hire anybody you want, and to select not only for talent and for the right role, but someone who is appreciated for their intelligence. And you see that in working actors working with him again and again, not just the people who have been in all three Dark Knight movies, Christian Bale and Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine and Gary Oldman and so forth, but this movie has at least three people that I can think of who were in Inception, the Christopher Nolan movie. Tom Hardy was in Inception, and he plays the villain here. He played the forger in that movie, the one who could fake documents and things. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who was in Inception, is here as well. And Marion Cotillard, the Oscar-winning French actress who played Leonardo DiCaprio's wife in Inception, mm-hmm. is here as well. She plays a new character, Miranda Tate, who is on the board of Wayne Enterprises and has her own reasons for wanting to get close to Bruce Wayne. Of course, I know you three could probably come up with a lot of reasons why you want to get close to Christian Bale.
Yes.
Yeah.
And plus, he is Batman. I mean, come on.
He is, absolutely.
Batman's hot.
and it is also, I know that ladies often react well to accents. And mm-hmm. he is British. He's actually from Wales. But there is something about British actors, especially, but any actors, who can adopt absolutely perfect American speaking styles. For years, Hugh Laurie has been doing it for House, the television show House. And he often makes fun of that in these award shows because, you know, he'll speak in his regular accent or he'll speak mm-hmm. French or something in a perfect French accent. And every time you look at social media and you see all kinds of people, I didn't know he was an American. I remember being incredibly impressed in one episode where his character House had a cold. And I thought, okay, you know, we all speak differently when we have a cold. Mm-hmm. Now he's not only a Brit doing an American accent, but he's doing an American with a cold.
Cold.
It just, you know, it. I despair of having that kind of talent. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. Really.
Do people think actors and actresses are airheads and stuff? But you know what? They really have to be very smart and very talented because it's not easy to memorize all those lines and act and you know.
It is definitely a type of intelligence. I don't think it necessarily crosses over to what we think of intelligence as far as IQ
like
or
Harvard.
Having a lot of knowledge. It can, and it does in many people. It certainly did in the people I talk with in this movie. But it certainly is a set of skills that has to do with intelligence. And the problem comes, I think, when that image of actors aren't very smart gets believed by people who make movies. And so not only do they not want to make smart movies, and, you know, this is a blockbuster, it's a comic book movie, a superhero movie, but this is also a very smart movie and really excellent drama. I can't overstate that enough. But, when filmmakers decide, okay, they're going to treat actors as if they have no intelligence. Now, filmmakers, you know, in the golden age of filmmaking were very, very well known for this. You know, the movie titans... Of the middle of the last century and the early part of the last century, the ones who made the big studios, they were famous for, referring to actors as just pieces of meat, who you know they didn't like paying them lots of money. They thought they were easily replaceable and that they weren't, you know, the studio heads and the directors and the writers, they were the brains, and the actors were just there to like puppets. And there are a lot of people who make movies who think that way, and thank goodness Christopher Nolan is not one of them. And it's really a much, as a journalist, I much prefer not only movies that treat their actors and their audiences with intelligence, but covering the press junkets. You know, there's nothing worse than going, in my job anyway, than going to talk to people who don't want to talk about the movie. You're there to ask them questions about it. They're there to answer questions about it. And if either of you doesn't want to be there, it's a kind of worthless exercise. There's no point in it. And you can tell. You can tell when someone at a junket, either the movie didn't go as they wanted to or it was just a film they did to get a paycheck. And, you know, it doesn't mean they just completely, you know, blow off the interview. But you can tell after you've done it a while the difference between their responses for that and their responses when they were truly engaged and excited to be in the film and impressed by the people around them and happy to work with them. And Dark Knight Rises is definitely one of those films. Everybody had great things to say about each other. You got the feeling they were incredibly sincere about being part of this company and are kind of, you know, in a way sad that this is the end of that particular road. This is the end of a trilogy that has come full circle from the first movie. You don't need to have seen the other two movies to understand it and appreciate it. It picks up right where the last film, The Dark Knight from 4 years ago, ended.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of explaining and a certain amount of flashback at the beginning of The Dark Knight Rises to explain how all the people who are involved got to this point and what has changed since the last movie ended. So it really, you know, it helps you to appreciate what a massive character arc Christian Bale has spanned over the last close to a decade if you've seen the previous two movies. But even if you haven't and you hear about this, you know, what's all the fuss about The Dark Knight Rises? Don't worry. You can go. You can understand what's happening. And you know, you're going to be like millions of others seeing it this weekend and
loving it.
Appreciating it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Especially since Christian Bale is Batman.
Absolutely. He does take his shirt off in more than one scene, if that's
okay.
Any thing impetus. And I will say this. I'll make one last point about Bale, and I think it comes through more in this movie than in the previous two. There are superheroes where they look exactly the same when they're in their alter ego. I mean, come on. Superman wears a pair of glasses and nobody knows it's Superman. That always struck me as a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he becomes Batman. When he puts on the cape and cowl, when he gets into the costume, he's like a different person altogether. And the people I talk with said he was like that on set too. You know, you're an actor, you know he's an actor, but you walk on set and you go, whoa, that's Batman. That's not an actor wearing a suit. He really, you get an incredible feeling of he is transforming himself to do this. And it makes it that much more rewarding an experience seeing the movie.
Well, we'll definitely be going tomorrow, right, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, some people aren't waiting. Some people are watching it right now. Not The Dark Knight Rises, because it opens at midnight, but a lot of chains are putting all three movies together as a marathon. Start about 6 o'clock tonight
with
Batman Begins, and then, you know, about 9 o'clock, they show because these are long movies, they show The Dark Knight, and then at midnight, when it's Friday and the movie premieres, they watch The Dark Knight Rises. It's about 9 hours out of your life for
and
all three on one ticket.
A lot of free time.
And it's pretty good.
Well, David, this has been a pleasure as always.
Likewise.
And we hope you'll come and join us again very soon. In the next few weeks, we'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Always lots to talk about from Hollywood.
Yep.
Thanks, David.
Bye.
Really enjoyed tonight. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
And enjoy The Dark Knight Rises.
Yep, definitely.
We will.
Good night, ladies.
Good night. He's great. I tell you, he's terrific.
He really is terrific.
Yep. Well, Betty Ann, this has been great. Everybody pick up the Ladies' Home Journal, August edition with Ann Curry, so you can see our Betty Ann on page 40. She's a beauty ambassador. Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.